Good morning, everyone. Let us pray. Father, we say, come, Holy Spirit, this morning. Lord, join us in this place, Father. We know we are all here by divine appointment today and in this season, Father, and we thank you. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for the greatest gift, and we just praise you on this morning, and we say, in Jesus' name, thank you very much, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, my sermon title today is... I'm doing a kind of a sermon series, just a two-day thing, this for Christmas week, okay? But we're still preaching God's Word, amen? It's still expository preaching, amen? So my sermon title is today is part one, the 12 days of Christmas, a season of service, and that's what I'm going to be talking about. That's what I'm going to be preaching about, how we can serve and how we serve the one true King, more importantly, amen? I got a poem for you. It's called, Can This Be Christmas? Amen? It says, what's all the hectic rush and worry? Where go these crowds who run and curry? Why all the lights, the Christmas trees, the jolly fat man, tell me please? Why, don't you know, this is the day for parties and for fun and play? Why, this is Christmas. So this is Christmas, do you say? But where is the Christ this Christmas day? Has he been lost among the throng, his voice drowned out by empty song? No, he's not here. You'll find him where some humble soul kneels in prayer. Who knows the Christ of Christmas but see the many aimless thousands who gather on this Christmas day, whose hearts have never yet been opened or said to him, come in to stay. In countless homes, the candles are burning, in countless hearts, expected yearning for gifts and presents, food and fun, and laughter till the day is done. But not a tear of grief or sorrow for him so poor he had to borrow a crib, a colt, a boat, a bed where he could lay his weary head. I'm tired of all this empty celebration of feasting and drinking and recreation. I'll go instead to Calvary, and there I'll kneel with those who know the meaning of that manger low, and find the Christ this Christmas. I leap by faith across the years to that great day when he appears, the second time to rule and reign, to end all sorrow, death, and pain. In endless bliss we then shall dwell with him who saved our souls from hell, and worship Christ. Not Christmas. Amen? Love it. This poem, it's called Can This Be Christmas? Just like my sermon this week, is a reminder for us to keep Christ in Christmas. Amen? It's a reminder for us to keep Christ in Christmas. And this series on 12 days of Christmas, we're going to talk about the song and the meaning behind each day. For those of you who don't know, the Christian meaning behind each day and the 12 days of Christmas. All right? But more importantly, we're going to talk about who the true love is in the song. Amen? And I don't think I'm going to sing it for you guys, but but if anybody wants to sing it, they can come up here, Pastor. Hey, I can sing pretty good. But, you know, it's about who is the true love in the song. You know, it's not our boyfriend or our girlfriend or our fiance or even our spouse. The true love in the song is God. Amen? That's who the true love is. And these 12 days of Christmas, they begin on Christmas Day. Amen? And they go through January 5th, which is the day before the Epiphany. Amen? And the Epiphany is when, you know, the wise men found Jesus and or went to Jesus, and he was presented or revealed as a Savior to the world. Amen? So we know some families, mostly in the past, they would celebrate these 12 days of Christmas. They'd give their kids gifts or give gifts all 12 days. Amen? But most of these traditions, especially in today's economy, have gone to the wayside, right? We don't really celebrate like the 12 days like that anymore. But there's some even older traditions where this time of Advent, and you see by our beautiful banners and our candles, this is our fourth Sunday in Advent. Amen? But it used to be that in Advent, they would fast. It was a time to fast. And they would fast But, you know, we have definitely evolved out of that tradition. Amen. Unless you call eating ham and tamales fasting, right? But but we've evolved out of that. But what they used to do is they would fast in preparation for Jesus' nativity, what we call Christmas today. Amen. But it would be the feast of Jesus' nativity. And so it was long ago, and they still were giving gifts for the 12 days of Christmas, that this poem was written, this 12 days of Christmas poem. And today it's a carol, and it's one of the most famous and annoying Christmas carols, amen, of all time. But it became popular in England, and there are many stories about why it became so popular. But what we do see in this carol is that the symbols that believers have recognized for centuries, and they represent the core beliefs of Christianity. That's the true meaning behind the song. And we're going to talk about that. But what we truly see in this old carol of gift giving is the amazing gifts that God gives us. That's what it's about. It's about the gifts that God has given us and the 12 greatest gifts. And now as we sing this song, say this song, we'll begin to see the 12 gifts of God that he's given to us, and you know, the gifts that he's given to us while we were still sinners. Amen? While we are still sinners. These gifts that God has given to us. And, okay, so that's the 12 days. And each meaning underneath it, okay? I'm just going to leave that up there while I go through these. So, I'm not going to sing it. Anybody want to sing it for us? Okay. So, on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. Does anybody know what the partridge in a pear tree stands for? Right, but, okay, it says it right there, but the reason for that is because it's symbolic, because a mother partridge, they say, is the only bird who will die for her children in the wild. Amen? She will die for her children, and, you know, just as Christ did for us. Amen? And that's why they picked this partridge in the pear tree as the first day of Christmas here. And, you know, it also reminds us of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The bird reminds us of the Holy Spirit, and that comes at the end of the 12 days. The Epiphany is recognized as baptism as well. Amen? So, on the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves, and these represent the Old and the New Testaments, which are now a roadmap, right? They're an instruction manual for our lives. Amen? And that's, you know, what greater gift than that, right? God has given us his word. And that's the second day. You know, the Bible contains 66 books that were written by 40 authors. Amen? And it covers 1,600 years, but the Bible has a supernatural consistency to it. Amen? And that's only made possible because God led all these people to write these books in this Bible. Amen? And in 2 Timothy 3:17, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, all of us, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. For every good work. And, you know, what will our good works be during these 12 days? That's what we're going to talk about. What we can do to serve others, what we can do to help those in need, whether that's family, friends, homeless people, whoever that may be, whatever that may look like for us, that's what we're going to be talking about, how we can serve during those 12 days. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens. These three birds represent faith, hope, and love. And these are the gifts that God gives us every day. Amen? Faith, hope, and love. And the Bible says that they will last forever for us as Christians. Amen? These gifts will last forever. And it's these same gifts that we're called to show other people. Faith, hope, and love. God shows it to us. We're called to show it to others, right? That's how we serve. We cannot forget to share these gifts with others just because our lives get busy. We have to continue to remember each morning in our devotions and our prayers to remember others, right? Put others before us, right? Love others, love even our enemies. Amen? Being busy is being blessed, but we can't forget those in need. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me four calling birds. The four calling birds represent the Gospels, amen, in the New Testament. They represent Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. They represent the Gospels. And during these 12 days of Christmas, I want to challenge everybody to read at least one of these Gospels, amen, if not all of them, amen. And so read the Gospels. These four books are truly calling us to salvation, and that's such a great gift from God. Amen? Amen. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me five golden rings. Now that represents the Lord of the Rings. No, I'm just kidding. No, it represents the first five books of the Old Testament, okay? Or the Torah or the Pentateuch, right? It represents the first five books of the Old Testament. Now remember, the Old Testament law has three components to it, okay? It's got ceremonial, penal, and moral components to it. And as believers today, we don't really hold to all these ceremonies anymore. Amen? That's Old Testament prophecy, right? We don't really hold to all these ceremonies and the punishments that we deserve, right? We don't hold to this stuff. You know, we're no longer required to stone to death an insolent child or an adulterous wife, or, you know, we're no longer called to do that, right? Remember, the Mosaic Law was for God's covenant people in the Old Testament, okay? You know, they were living in a theocracy, right? And that stuff is not enforced today, okay? So the moral component of the Old Testament, teaching our children and honoring our marriage laws, we're called to represent that, right? We're called to uphold that. And that's the foundations we find in the first five books of the Old Testament. On the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me six geese a-laying. And for any of you that don't know, a-laying means they were laying eggs, okay? So six geese a-laying. This goes back to the first part of the Bible and the 6 days of creation, okay? Each egg represents a day of creation. Now, once again, a gift from God, right? All gifts from God. If this planet's atmosphere, position, and makeup weren't exactly what it is today, life would not be possible here. Amen? It is all a perfect gift from God. And God's creation, it's not only intelligent, but it's perfect for our habitation here to worship God. Amen? Thanks be to God. And on the seventh day, and this is the last one I'm going to talk about today. We'll finish it next week, or Saturday. But on the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me seven swans a-swimming. Seven swans a-swimming. And that, four times in the book of Revelation, we talk about the seven spirits of God. And they're also mentioned, I wanted to read to you Isaiah 11:2. 11:2. And 3, it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, 1, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, and the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Those are the seven spirits, amen? And it says, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. We are not to judge by what we see with our eyes and decide by what we hear with our ears. Amen? This branch or this root that it talks about, Jesus, amen, is the righteousness that, you know, in this season we're called to be more like Christ, right? We're called to be more like Christ. We're called to judge the needy with righteousness. Judge the needy with righteousness and make decisions to help the poor of this earth. And that's what we do here at Amazing Grace. Amen. And that's what we try to do in all these ministries, like Bags of Love and the ones that are out there, you know, on the streets with the people. Amen? Because not everyone is ready to come through those doors yet, but we're out there letting them know about the love of Christ and that we're here for them each and every day. And, you know, and this is exactly what the Good Samaritan does in today's text. Amen? This is what the Good Samaritan does, because whom's more needy than a dying man on the side of the road? Right? Who's more needy than that? And so the question I ask today is, how can we be followers of Jesus in this season of giving? How can we continue to be followers of Jesus? We have to remember to keep Christ in Christmas. And this is exactly what an expert in the law would ask Jesus in today's text. And he would say in our first verse, teacher, he would ask him, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus would tell him, what is written in the law? And he would tell him, how do you read it? And he would answer the Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. There it is, right? This is what we're called to do. So he's given all the right answers so far, amen? He's given Jesus all the right answers. And Jesus says, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. So Jesus is saying, if you do all these things, you will have life, you will have a good life, and you will have eternal life. And this is exactly what we're all seeking, right? A good life, eternal life, a peaceful life. We want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to follow Christ. Everything we can to follow Christ. Because we know that if we allow Christ to go before us, we know our lives will be better. Amen? If we allow Christ to go before us, our lives will be better. And a lot of us can testify to that. I just testified to that literally on Tuesday night. And, you know, and we're all called to give our testimony. Amen? Not just, I mean, in our everyday lives, to let people know what God has done for us, to witness and let them know what God can do for them. And so this expert in the law gives Jesus the right answers, but then he wants to justify himself. And he asks Jesus, he says, but who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? So he knows he has to love God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind, but he says, exactly who's my neighbor? I'm called to love my neighbor. Who is my neighbor? He's probably thinking to himself, you can't mean everybody, right? I mean, just my neighbor, but not everyone, right? But it is everybody. We're called to love everybody. And you've heard the song, love God and love people, right? Love God and love people. If we truly love God, then we're called to love all people. All people. And even our enemies. Even our enemies. And that can be the hard part. This is a very hard command to live out for any of us at certain times in our lives. And, you know, Jesus tells this famous parable because he knows that it's hard for us to understand, hard for us to live this out. So he tells this parable about the Good Samaritan. Amen? So follow along with me in your bulletins if you want. I'm going to read the whole parable here. It says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and they went away, leaving him half dead. This is verse 30, okay? A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side, because they didn't want to be unclean, amen? He passed on the other side. So too a Levite came, and when he came to the place and saw him, he passed on the other side. But when the Samaritan came as he traveled, he came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, he bandaged his wounds, he poured on oil and wine, which was very expensive, and then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers. So after hearing this parable, the expert in the law, you know, he answered his own question, right? And he said, the one who had mercy on him. The one who had mercy on him, the Samaritan. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. And he tells us the same thing. Amen? And so when you get this parable, you get this parable. You get it, right? So read through it a few times if you don't get it. Read through it a few times and you'll get it. Amen? Jesus is talking to us. He's telling us that, you know, to love all people. And, you know, your neighbor, another part of that message is your neighbor is who you choose to be your neighbor. You know, we have to make that choice. We're called to love all people. We have to make that choice to love a stranger. Amen? A stranger in need, whoever that is. We have to make that choice. It's our choice to help the needy. It's our choice to help the poor. And yes, it's our choice to even help our enemies. It's our choice. Now, so I want to challenge you all as a church this Christmas season, you know, these coming 12 days of Christmas and beyond, not to grow in numbers, but to grow in our spirit, right? To grow in our spirit. If you're a member of this church, you know that the Holy Spirit resides here, right? The Holy Spirit is in this church. And why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? Why do you think the Holy Spirit is in this place every day? It's because we love our neighbors, right? We love our neighbors. We love all people to Christ. That's our mission statement, right? Loving all people to Christ. And, you know, we don't only do it here, but we do it out there in the world. We do it out there in the world. God knows we're not just Sunday Christians around here, amen? And that's why the Holy Spirit resides here. And when God resides in this place, the people will continue to come. The people will continue to come. And the Holy Spirit is here because we realize that the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here because we realize the Holy Spirit is here. And, you know, when we focus on the Spirit of God and doing the work of God, everything else will be added onto us. Everything else. Love God and love people. So as we continue into this holy day season, as I like to call it, and into the new year via the 12 days of Christmas, we have to continue to love God by loving people. And the way we do that is by having compassion for others. By having compassion. We should naturally, as Christians, have compassion for others. Amen? But what is true compassion? What is true compassion? In this parable, we see the lives of four people. Okay, four people. We see the one of them's half dead, two of them don't care, and one of them has compassion. You know, he cared for a complete stranger. He cared for his neighbor. And, you know, what does compassion look like for us? What does it look like, especially in this season, you know, as individuals and as a church? What does it look like? What are we doing to serve others? What are we doing to help the needy? The number of homeless people in Maricopa County from 2014 to 2022 has gone up almost 400%. 400%. And they say that there's over 5,000 homeless people in Maricopa County, but I believe it's probably a much higher number than that. You know, this is people going out just counting people on the street. But from what we can see every day on the corners, it sure looks like a lot more. Amen. What would you say, Christina? Maybe 10,000 at least, right? Right. Hidden, right? Amen. Especially in this weather. But, you know, if not the church out there doing this, then who will? Amen. If we're not out there helping these people, then who will? So I want to challenge everyone to have compassion for the less fortunate. Choose someone or maybe even sponsor a family this season. Help someone. You know, in these 12 days of Christmas, I want to challenge everyone to do something for someone or some family or some organization each day and into the future. Amen? We can make a choice to help others by allowing God's Spirit to work through us. By allowing God's Spirit to work through us, strengthen us, you know, by giving our time, our talents, and our treasure, right? We talk about that. Amen? And we should be doing that out there in the world too, for everyone. Sharing, you know, with the less fortunate. And the best part is that we know we're doing God's work. That's the best part. We are doing God's work. We're being the hands and feet of Christ. Amen? And you may say, but I'm too busy to help others. I'm too busy to volunteer. I'm too busy to go to church, maybe. Who or what are we putting first in our lives at Christmas time? Who are we putting first? You know, we need to keep the Christ in Christmas. That's why we're here. Amen? That's why we're here today, and that's why we'll be here next Saturday. And, you know, we can get so caught up in the hustle and bustle that we forget what's most important. We forget what's the most important. And this Christmas, you know, don't let our busyness keep us from doing what really matters. Spending time with family, serving others, but most importantly, worshiping our Lord and Savior. We cannot lose track of that. We cannot, you know, we gotta make time for that. Amen? Gotta make time for that. And in this next part of our text today, there's two sisters. Amen? There's two sisters. One is too busy for Jesus, serving Jesus. And the other is laying at His feet, regardless of what has to be done, worshiping our Savior. Verse 38 says that as Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, "Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." You see, up to this point in my sermon, I've been talking about giving and serving others and being more like Christ, right? Amen? But let us not get too busy to remember the reason for the season. Even as we're serving God, serving Christ, we can't forget to remember that who we're doing it for. Amen? The whole reason that we're doing it. We can't get too busy for that. And the reason for the season, Jesus Christ. God with us. Amen? Emmanuel. God with us. So remember, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. Amen? He had raised Lazarus. So Mary and Martha, that was their brother. So about a week prior to this, He had done this, and now they were honoring Jesus. Okay? They're honoring Jesus with a dinner at their home. And Martha is, she's the apparent head of the household. Amen? She's the head of the household. And she was very concerned that all the preparations had to be made. All the preparations had to be made. And she wanted everything to be perfect for her guests. We all know how that is, right? We want everything to be perfect for our guests. She wanted the food to be amazing and the house to be clean, the decorations to be just right. And she was so busy preparing for the Lord that when the Lord actually showed up, she was too distracted to pay attention to the Lord. Amen? And you see, when Jesus shows up in our lives, you know, we cannot get too busy. We have to put Him first. We can never get too busy in preparation. So we have to remember the true reason for the season. And, you know, serving others in Jesus' name and praising Jesus, that is the true reason for the season. It really is. So we can get so busy buying all these gifts and sending all these cards and posting all these posts on Facebook, right? And working extra hours to earn money for gifts that we may miss a church service or a Bible study or a Christmas party. But Martha, like Martha, we can get so caught up in the busyness of Christmas, we start to wonder what happened to the joy. Where's the joy at, right? We're so busy trying to keep up, we lose the joy because we take our eyes off of Christ. Amen? You know, Martha's service for Jesus got in the way of sitting at his feet. It's where she should have been with her sister. Amen. And we see here that Martha got so busy and frustrated that she comes to Jesus and she says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" You know, she says, "Tell her to help me." She's so worried about the preparations, she starts to tell Jesus what to do. Amen? She's like, "Make her help me," right? She's telling Jesus what to do. And I'm like, "You don't want to do that, you know? Amen?" Not too bright, but... And then, so in verse 41, Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Only one. Really only one. Amen? Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." You see, Martha was easily distracted by less important things than Jesus. And we can do the same. You know, we can fall into that same trap. But Jesus knew that such worries do nothing but distract us from Him, and it chokes out God's Word. God's Word. But Mary had chosen what is better. Amen? And so Mary was putting Jesus first. And that's what we're called to do, put Jesus first. It was December of 1903, and after many attempts, the Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur, were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground. Amen? And into the air at Kitty Hawk. So they were so thrilled over the accomplishment that they telegraphed the message to their sister Catherine. And they said, "We have actually flown 120 feet and we will be home for Christmas." So Catherine hurried to the editor of the newspaper. She showed him the message and he glanced at it and he said, "How nice, the boys will be home for Christmas." Amen? The boys will be home. He totally missed the big news that for the first time somebody was flying, right? He's like, "Oh, they're going to be home for Christmas." So, you know, will we miss the big news of Jesus this season? That's the point. Amen? Will we miss? That's a picture of Pastor Rick's Christmas tree from last year. And... Not that big. It kind of reminds me of my dad's house, though, man. They used to have gifts not under the tree but around, and it was like halfway up the wall. I'm like, really? But yeah, but that's I was going to say that's Pastor Rick's tree. So the average adult spends about $900 a year on Christmas gifts right now. It may be a little higher, but this online surge thing, you know, that everybody's doing on Amazon. Oh, and by the way, the last toy store in Arizona closed down this week, I think. So Amazon's doing their job, amen? But if we're not careful, we can be tempted to think that this is what Christmas is all about, right? That this is what Christmas is all about. We have to remind the kids that this isn't what Christmas is all about, right? Amen? It is. In our busyness, especially at this time of the year, let us never forget, you know, the reason for serving and the reason for the season. And that's Jesus Christ. Christmas begins with Christ. Next slide. Next slide. Oh, it's not there. Okay. What is that? Oh, there it is. Okay. This year and every year, let us keep the Christ in Christmas. Amen? Keep the Christ in Christmas. Let us never get too busy for church and family and those in need. And may Jesus be at the center of it all. You know, we need to have a Mary, like Martha and Mary, a Merry Christmas in this Martha world. Amen? A Merry Christmas in this Martha world. Next week, we're going to finish the true meaning of the 12 days of Christmas. But let's start to think about, you know, who and how we're going to serve others those 12 days of Christmas. Amen? Start to think about, you know, just whoever, however that may look for you, whatever you can do to serve. But remember that we do it for Christ. Amen? Amen. God's peace and joy be with you all, and let us pray.